Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackedSidewalks.com.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Cracked Sidewalks. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you, and we are not going to be talking about a sports movie bracket today, Phil.
There was some stuff that happened on Twitter, but I mean, is that why we're not doing the bracket?
Yeah. We've been teasing that for a few days now, but as many of you may know by now, there was significant Marquette basketball news on Monday, and yeah, we're going to talk through it and have a little therapy session here to try to get through it. Of course, as you all know by now, Sam Hauser and Joey Hauser have announced that they are leaving the Marquette basketball program, which I don't think it's overstating it to call it a devastating blow to the Marquette basketball program, at least in the short-term future, Phil. I mean, this was a team that was preseason top 10, probably top 5 in a lot of all those way too early top 25s. I think the highest I saw Marquette last week was 2 on ESPN.
Yep.
And I think as people have updated their way too early top 25s on Monday, I think almost everyone has Marquette out of the top 25 for their way too early rankings. I think Gary Parrish had that. Jeff Goodman had that. I think Seth Davis also had Marquette, even though Seth Davis had Marquette in the 30s to begin with, but then he expected Howard to leave, and then Howard came back, and he put Marquette in his top 10, and now they're back out of his top 25. So I don't think you can overstate what a significant loss this is to the roster.
Well, yeah, how many minutes that's or how many points that's something like 40% of this past season's points are walking out the door and going somewhere else. Let's ignore, we're going to get to it. Let's ignore the program defining nature of these transfers and perhaps a job defining nature of these transfers. Just talk about it from a basketball sense. That is a lot of experience and a lot of points walking out that door.
That's the thing that, you know, it has a lot of Marquette fans and really college basketball fans. You know, people I follow who aren't fans of Marquette are just really puzzled by it. And I think Marquette fans especially are puzzled by it because no one really expected this to happen. Because you're talking about a Final Four, may be overstating it, but it's maybe not ridiculous if you're a preseason top five team, a team with Final Four talent, a team that would probably be the favorite in the Big East next year. And you're not talking about two guys that were recruited over. Like, that happens sometimes. This isn't like Hanif Cheatham leaving the program or Dwayne Wilson or Tracy Carter. You know, Wojo recruited over all those guys. And that's fine because that's kind of how you have to build a program. You have to keep getting better. These are two guys who were 100% starting next season. Joey Hauser was 100% starting for the next three seasons, as long as he wanted to. And these are two guys who have just decided that they need to leave. And there's a lot of speculation out there as to why they're leaving. I don't know how much we want to get into that, but I think we'd be wasting our time if we didn't get into it a little bit. But I think everyone is just stunned that two guys who have significant roles, who were highly successful, both, I think, with at least some measure of NBA potential, and we're going to get all the minutes they wanted next year, are leaving the program. It's just really stunning.
Yeah, well, and I mean, think about it, especially Sam Hauser. Now, I mean, you got to take an exception because obviously they're brothers and who knows what, you know, what factor that played in, right? I'd be shocked if like Joey was 100% disgruntled and Sam wanted to stay, but then was 100% happy and bit the bullet and went with Joey for some reason, cause that's the way it needed to play out. But I mean, when you think about it, speaking to the stunned nature of all this, look at it from Sam's perspective, right? So he's playing 30 minutes a game for a team that's projected to be a top 10 next year. If he has NBA aspirations, seems as good a place as any. And on top of that, he now has to sit out a year. So he's going to be, you know, if he has NBA aspirations, instead of being a 22-year-old senior coming off a potential top five program, he's going to be an almost 24-year-old senior playing for, you know, and well, we can speculate later, but, you know, playing for who knows what they'll be 2 years from now, right? Like, he's also taking a flyer that he's going to sit out a year, and the team he goes to is going to be the same team he wanted to be on. Like, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, here's the thing. It kind of, to build on what you're saying there, the idea that a guy, a junior, transfers in a sit one, play one situation, normally when juniors transfer, it's because they're ahead on their academics and they can graduate, they can grad transfer and play right away. Well, you know, Sam's not doing that. Sam is going to sit one, play one, and it is rare for a junior to transfer, sit one, play one, without some kind of coaching change or being recruited over, right?
Right.
And then on top of that, Joey can't redshirt, because he took a redshirt when he enrolled early last year, and so he is forfeiting a year of eligibility. He may apply for a waiver to get that back. We'll see. But as it is right now, Joey Hauser can play a max of 3 seasons of college basketball because of this. So Sam is willing to extend his college career by 2 years and only play one of them, and Joey is willing to forfeit a year of college eligibility rather than continue to play at Marquette.
Yeah, that's kind of like, on its face, regardless of what else, that's like damning on the Marquette program, right? Like, that things are so...
There's no other way to spin it.
Yeah, right.
It looks like, bad on Marquette.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing is, like, so regardless of the reasons behind the actual decision, like, and we can get into the speculation and stuff here in a minute, but, like that alone causes all sorts. Like, what does that have for the ramifications of recruiting and ongoing? Like, even if like Joey and Sam chose for some other reason that can be explained that makes this as painted as positive a light as possible, there is nothing like it. It is just a bad look for the program. And, like, I don't know how we got here. How did we go from celebrating Marcus was back for another season and we were a top five program potentially to two out of our five best players? I mean, Sam Hauser was in discussions to be, like, a top five point getter at Marquette when his career was done next season. And now he's left. He's out the door.
Yeah, speaking to your recruiting point that you were making there, yeah, like all these guys who are recruiting, being recruited by Marquette, they have to see this news and wonder what the hell's going on over there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like that, because if when Wojo and Stan, all these guys are trying to secure these commitments, I know, I forget his name, but there is a guy who's announcing his commitment on Thursday who Marquette's in his top five. Juwan Strother, I think is his name. But as these guys are trying to seal up these commitments, the first thing I'm asking is, why'd the Housers leave? Like, why did you lose those guys? Like, again, it's not a situation where a guy's been recruited over, is buried on the depth charts, not playing. Those guys got plenty of minutes. And like, their usage, maybe they could have gotten a few more shots, but it's not like they were never shooting. They were scoring plenty.
That's the thing, is by every traditional measure of a transfer, right? Like, And this is, I think, why, I mean, 12 hours removed or 10 hours removed from the announcement, I think we're having such a trouble articulating, wrapping our brains around it. Like, there is zero evidence of why they would transfer that makes any sense outside of some sort of internal program trouble. Right. There is nothing. It's not playing time. It's not, you know, offense. It's not whatever. It's something internal to the program caused this, and that's what just makes it so hard to stomach. Like, you never see this in primetime basketball these days, right? Like, in college basketball, I can't think of another time where on the surface it just looked insane like this.
Yeah, I'm sure if we think a little bit, there will probably be quite a few situations where there was just obvious tension between coaches and players. And, you know, again, this is – we're not necessarily reporting this as fact, but it's out there. And I know all you guys on, whether it's Scoop or Reddit or just the Marquette Twitter hashtag, you've seen it out there that there's speculation rumors that this has to do with some kind of conflict between the Housers and Marcus Howard, or the Housers and Wojo, or the Housers and how Wojo coaches Marcus Howard, right? Like, those are, it's something in that vein is the gist we're all getting. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's, I think absolutely that's fair to say.
Yeah, again, I'm not necessarily reporting that as fact, but it's out there and it's all over the place, is that there is some kind of tension between, and it's a triangle between the Housers, well, not really a triangle, it's like Team Housers and Team Wojo Howard. Like, that's kind of the divide.
I honestly think it's fair to characterize it as a triangle, right? Like, there's Team Housers, there's Team Marcus, and then we'll say, just to be generous, we'll say team coaches, right? Like, who knows what's going on where and what's caused, but there's definitely three kind of categories going on, and how those points of the triangle line up is and you can do some you can do some real mental gymnastics to figure it out, but that's where we're at. It's some combination of those three groups have fundamentally broken down.
Yeah, because it's hard to ignore the fact that Marcus Howard announced on Friday afternoon, I'm coming back. Housers took the weekend, thought about it, and they're bolting.
Right. And like, we're ready. Had statements. And again, they're bolting without a destination. I mean, like, everything about this says very recent decision. Now, who knows? Maybe it was smoldering and they were just sitting waiting to see if Marcus came back and then they pulled the trigger. But I cannot imagine the way this has gone down that there's a lot of prep work going into this. So, again, what went wrong? Like, how fundamentally broken is the relationship between the Housers and Marcus, or the relationship between the Housers and the coaching staff, that you make this kind of life-altering, if you will, decision, not on a whim, but darn near, right? That's what it feels like.
Well, I mean, the thing is, we don't necessarily know that. I mean, this could have been something they've been talking about for months, and they said, like, it's something maybe the Housers have – that's the thing we really don't know. Maybe this is something they've considered for a long time, and maybe as the season was going along, they were under the impression, hey, look, we have two plans, one if Howard stays and one if Howard leaves. And this is something they were probably maybe considering for a long time, and then Howard stayed, and then they said, all right, this – Howard stayed, what are we going to do? And then they said, all right, we're going to go with plan B, when plan A was to stay if Howard left. I don't know if it's fair to say this was decided in a day. Like, I would guess this is something that's probably been in the back of their mind all year, maybe as the losing streak late in the season got worse and worse. That I'm sure the Houser family was always thinking about their future and wondering if things were right.
So I
would say I would disagree with the idea that this was just decided, that it wasn't even in the back of their mind on Thursday, and then 48 hours later, it was their decision.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't in the back of the mind, but it seems odd as hell that they don't have a destination, right? Like,
not really. I mean, because they know they're talented. They know they're going to be in demand. I would say most transfers don't necessarily have a destination. They just know that where they are isn't the right place. And I think the Housers know, and you know, it's their take and it's their career. So what, you know, whatever makes them happy, but it is their take that Marquette is no longer the best place for them. And so there are 350 some basketball programs out there, and there's got to be one that's better. And there are some that are, I mean, if you, the early reports say Virginia, Michigan State, and Wisconsin. And I would, you know, die a little inside if they went to Wisconsin, but you know, that's,
I would die a lot on the outside if they went to Wisconsin.
Yeah, but you know, it's on the table and something they're considering, so whatever they want to do. But thing is, Michigan State and Virginia are two Final Four teams, two great programs. And you mentioned earlier you don't know what the program's going to be like in 2 years when they can play. Well, if Tom Izzo and Tony Bennett are still the coach of those programs, I guarantee those programs are going to be damn good.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Like, I bet every program gets involved with the Housers. Any program that has two scholarships available, I bet Kansas gets involved. I bet Duke gets involved. You are going to see over the next week the list of schools calling on the Housers grow exponentially, because it is so rare that a player like Sam Houser is available. And he's a known commodity. He's not some guy who struggled and got like 4 points a game and two boards a game in limited minutes. Hey, he's a former five-star recruit. Maybe we can get something out of him. This is a guy who is a known commodity, and a guy, the day he steps foot on a campus, anywhere he goes, he is going to be like a first team all conference preseason selection, And Joey might be too, depending what conference they're going to. So, every blue blood is going to be after these guys. Like, every team in the preseason top 10, everyone is going to – they're all going to offer the Housers. Even if they don't have scholarships available, they're going to make room for them.
Yeah, well, that was the thing I was going to ask. I mean, this is unique because you're basically having to clear two roster spots because the brothers are – they've made it clear it's a package deal. Like, you know, they're going somewhere together. So you've got to clear two roster spots and park them on your bench for a year.
Kansas did it. Didn't work out the way they planned, but Kansas did it with the the Lawson brothers.
Yeah, right?
Dedrick Lawson was a first-team All-American this year. Maybe it worked okay for 1 year, but KJ Lawson, he's leaving. But you get my point. It can be done.
I'm not doubting it can be done. I'm just saying, I guess what I'm saying is this is – I agree, like, if you take individual pieces, like, you can kind of explain away each one of those things as quote-unquote normal. I think what I'm coming to is, like, if you look at this all together, all of this stuff together – is so weird, like so unusual.
It is weird. You know, I want to get back to, you know, we were talking about that triangle. And the interesting thing to me is, well, not there are several interesting things to me, but one of the interesting points of all this is when the news broke, you know, normally when a kid transfers, the general reaction on Twitter is like, oh, well, that's a bummer. Good luck to him. Half the fan base is like, oh, what a loss. And the other half is like, yeah, we'll be fine. The reaction this time generally was, screw Wojo.
Yeah.
Like, that was the general reaction. I got the sense that most Marquette fans, when the news broke, were, like, hurt and, like, wondering, like, the Housers, like, they're our guys. We love the Housers. What have you done to piss off these kids? Like, that was kind of the reaction that I got from most of the people I follow.
Yeah. No, that, I got so many pings. You know, from work people, text messages. I'm not kidding. I wish I was exaggerating. I had at least 50 unique people contact me within an hour of the news breaking saying, what is going on and when is Wojo getting fired?
Yeah, that's the topic for a little bit later on, but I wish I knew what was going on. But that was the stunning thing. And I think, yeah, it fair or unfair, it does look bad on Wojo. And, you know, back to the thing I was saying is most people were – the immediate reaction was we love the Housers and screw Wojo for this. I think it's important to maybe – again, even if the other side is probably wrong, just to consider for a minute, are the Housers wrong in this? Or is this a situation where Wojo did all he could to make this work and the Housers just couldn't be pleased? I'm not saying I agree with that, but I think it's worth at least exploring.
Well, I mean, we'll get back to we'll refer to it as the triangle. Like, everybody in the triangle could be wrong, right? Like, in some way, shape, or form. Like, it's never – I refuse to believe this is 100% somebody's fault, right? Like, I would
agree with that.
You know, there has to be some fault, if you will, on the Housers, right? Like – I could be 1%, could be 0.5%, could be 90%, right? We don't know the inside machinations of what's going on, but they are not blameless in this. There have been very few, but they've been aggressive takes on, you know, calling out the Housers like they're quitters and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If that's your take, okay, whatever, but if you're adding the Housers on social media, just stop and reevaluate your life a little bit.
Right. Right. So I think it's fair to say I support the Housers. I appreciate their attendance here. Do I think am I like a little bit squishy on their involvement in whatever's going on? I kind of have to be because I don't know what the true story is. Yeah. But I mean, that doesn't mean like I'm going to be like, oh, screw them, they suck. Like, clearly this is a symptom of something wrong with the program. This is not just the Housers just arbitrarily being like, you know what? Nah, I'm out. We'll see ya. I don't want to deal with it.
And this is kind of the point I really wanted to get to. Is, let's say, just for the sake of this argument, the Housers have egos. Let's just say that for the sake of this argument, that the Housers both have egos, and Marcus Howard has an ego. A good coach reels in those egos.
Right.
A coaching staff that is in control of everything can reel in egos and make them gel. Not that I would ever necessarily expect Marquette to have a coach of this caliber, but John Calipari and Bill Self and Coach K do this every year. Every year those guys bring in 3, 4, 5 guys who all think they're one and done, and sometimes they are, and they want to be the guy. But all those guys make it work. They find ways to say, look, this is a team, and everyone's going to play their role. Some of you have a huge role. Some of you have a minor role, and a lot of you are in between. You got to find ways to make that work. And if Wojo cannot and this staff cannot find ways to keep guys like the Housers in the program, again, significant contributors, plenty of minutes. Sam played 83% of the minutes in his position. Joey played 72% of the minutes.
As a freshman.
If you can't keep guys like that in the program, I would take 10 Housers if I could. If this coaching staff can't keep guys like that around, I would think it's time for a coaching staff that can.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, like you said, I mean, this is not, I mean, I suppose there's a basketball aspect to this. Maybe the Housers decided they want the offense running through them or that's a different argument, I suppose. But this has to be about like the culture of the team, the relationships on the team. To your point, like if Marcus and the Housers hate each other, you find a way to make it work. Because again, the Housers are putting themselves on negative footing making this decision. Things are the culture or the relationships within the men's basketball program are so bad that the Housers are willfully choosing to leave for a worse situation than they're currently in on the surface from a basketball sense.
Well, I wouldn't say they're necessarily leaving for a worse situation. We'll have to see where they end up.
Yeah,
If they end up at Virginia, Sam Hauser could win ACC Player of the Year, and that's not an exaggeration. And those two guys in that system could be absolutely unbelievable. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily true that they're leaving for a worse situation. They may upgrade. Because they're going to be, again, Michigan State's in, Virginia is in, I bet Duke and Kentucky get in, I bet Arizona gets in, Kansas is going to get in. They may not be downgrading.
That's fair. I'm having trouble letting go of that willfully giving up years.
But the weird thing is, to your point, is they are postponing their careers for a year.
Right.
That's the weird part.
Yeah,
and
that is
Joey
weird.
is punting on a year of eligibility, and Sam is willing to stay 5 years in college.
Right. I mean, and that's I agree in the short term, like from a collegiate career, they could be upgrading, right? Because players like this don't hit the market often. But from a long-term career standpoint in terms of, NBA aspirations or whatever, I got to think this is a net negative for Sam, right? Like being a fifth-year senior, even if he does win ACC Player of the Year, which I don't know, I'm kind of – I get that that the Virginia system helps for, really serves him well as a player. But even still, I don't think that improves his draft status any.
That's the thing. Like you said, he would be 24 when he enters the NBA.
Right.
Compared to you and me, that's young. But for the NBA, that's old.
Right.
For a rookie.
Right. Like, I mean, we were talking 6 months ago about Ellenson maybe being washed up at 22.
Right. I'm honestly a little curious why the Housers don't at least declare for the draft and explore. Because I don't know if Joey would get drafted right now. Maybe he would. Or maybe would get a contract, but I don't know. You get it because you can have an agent now and then sever ties with the agent and still go back to college. I don't know. I guess they really want to play another year in college together, but I think they should at least explore going to the draft. Maybe that's a totally off topic thing, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's all sorts of stuff that doesn't make sense. But getting back to the kind of whatever is going on culturally again, you know, and again, we have to address rumors, and, you know, we hear things and people share things with us and stuff, you know, and I even commented on Twitter, so I don't think I'm ruining anything, but, you know, somebody, a Wisconsin media person made some comment, oh, I talked to the Housers, and, like, apropos of nothing, said, yeah, this wasn't about Marcus. They're just looking for other things. And I'm like, hey, if you like, nobody ever just casually out of nowhere mentions that something isn't the thing without it actually being at least in part the thing. You know what I mean? Like I'm never like in a fight with my, this is going to be a terrible metaphor. I think I'm going to get in trouble for this. Like, I never get in a fight with my wife or something. And then, like, bring up with her, well, it's certainly not because you were out the other night, you know, like that's pretty big flag that's why I'm pissed, right?
You should have turned that around the other way and say when she's pissed at you. That would have sounded better.
Yeah, you're right. That would have sounded way better and highly and much more accurate. Much more accurate.
But yeah, and the thing is, just because everyone involved wants to come out looking as good as possible, no one is going to say it's Marcus's fault or it's Wojo's fault or the Housers are bad kids. No one's going to say that.
Right.
Right. Everyone involved, from the coaching staff to the Hauser family, they just want everybody to stop asking questions.
Yep.
We all want answers, but we're not going to get them.
Well, I mean, you saw it in the statements, right? The Hausers, both Hausers thanked the fans and their families, not a mention of the coaching staff.
To be fair, they said everyone involved in the Marquette program. But no, they did not specifically thank Wojo or any coaches.
Right. And Wojo in turn, like, that was I mean, I guess I don't know what one would say, but Wojo's statement, you know, basically was, we thank them for being part of the program, and we're really excited about what we have going forward. Next story.
Yeah, Wojo's trying to put out some fires and say, hey, look, we still got a good team. And trying to, like, turn the attention to that. Good luck with that right now. Maybe if you, like, get a couple of commits in the next few weeks, maybe that would change. But it is a tough sell right now for Wojo to say, hey, we still got a great team next year. Because, again, everyone who had Marquette in top five and they're way too early top 25, they've all dropped them out now. That's how significant a loss is. So it's tough to spin this in a positive way for Wojo. He could really use a win in recruiting this week to at least have something good to say. But he may have to be Wojo, it's probably best he's off Twitter now, so he can at least go, like, dark for a while and not answer any questions from anybody. But
well, yeah, the timing on this is also terrible, right? Like, that's the other thing that's weird about this. This feels to be a late transfer.
What are we? We're a little over 2 weeks removed from the Final Four. It's a little late, but I mean, the way the NBA draft works now, the way guys can stay in with an agent through May, I mean, the whole transfer portal, the whole carousel is not going to stop till the end of May. So these guys have plenty of time to get offers and take visits. And I bet, you know, we're recording this Monday night. I bet by Friday their list of offers is going to blow you away.
Oh yeah, no, I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, for a team that was bounced the first week of the tournament, the first day, or it was technically, yeah, the first day of the tournament. I mean, it just, I don't know. It just feels like this is not, again, this is closer to a sudden onset than it is like a really long thought out process, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah. Two things on that. Number one, the way Marquette played that Murray State game makes a lot more sense to me now. That team quit.
Yeah. It looks like it, right?
They quit in the second half of that game. And I think it was around that time the Housers decided they were done with this. And maybe Marcus was too. I think that whole group was decided they were done with each other. So this news coming out now, and some of the, again, not you can't take Reddit and MU Scoops too seriously when you're reporting things, but some of the things people are throwing out there about some conflict between the Housers and Howard after that game makes a lot more sense now. Number two, it just fuels into the speculation that there is tension between these guys, that it took this long because it took this long for Howard to announce he was coming back, and then boom, right away, we're out of here. Like, I honestly think it is more than fair to speculate that the Housers were waiting for Marcus's decision. And they had a plan A and a plan B for weeks, if not months. And they were just waiting for Howard. They were just waiting for that shoe to drop. It dropped, and then they made their move.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whether they get along, you know, as people or not, it's not like we have to connect a lot of really faint and obscure dots here to draw a conclusion.
It's honestly pretty straightforward to me.
And yeah, I agree.
No one is really going to come out and say, yep, you're right, Joe. Yep, we hate each other or something like that. Like, no one's going to say that. They just all want the questions to stop and to all move. The Housers want to find a new school and start that. And Marcus Howard wants to move forward with the 1920 team as his team, and Wojo does too, or the entire coaching staff. Like, let's focus on next year, and that's what they want. But, you know, in that vein, Phil, before we get out of here, why don't we talk about what this means going forward? I often make MCU references on this podcast. I know you appreciate them, and I know there are a few listeners who appreciate them as well. So I'm just going to go with another MCU reference here. You remember when Doctor Strange in Infinity War was going through 14 million scenarios of how they could defeat Thanos?
Yeah. Yes.
I want Doctor Strange to go through 14 million scenarios and tell us how many result in Marquette being really good next year. And I don't want him to say one.
Yeah.
So tell me, Phil, tell me a scenario where Marquette is still really good next year. Who has to step up? What does the roster look like? What players have to contribute significantly more to make me say in, you know, about 8-9 months, you know what, maybe we're better without the Housers? What's going to make me say that?
I don't think I will be blunt. There is zero scenarios. Like, you don't even get the one chance to prevent or eliminate the snapping. There is zero chance that this team is, and this is a unprovable fact, but I'm going to stand by it. There is zero chance that the team that remains with the roster would be or is going to be better than the team would have been with the Housers, right? Like, you don't 100%. Subtract that kind of talent and get better. I can't even imagine what the team chemistry is right now, unless everyone on the team goes, those Hauser brothers were the worst. You know what I mean? Like, and the
again,
team.
I hope that's not the case, but it can't be eliminated.
Right. It is sure. It is a possibility that exists, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the roster next year, like, there is not a lack of talent. Like, there is still. Two things I want to say here. I want to talk about expectations, which we'll get to in a minute. I want to talk about expectations, and I want to talk about possibilities. The roster next year without the Housers, there's still a lot of talent there, right? Like, Greg Elliott redshirted this year. You've got Marcus. You've got Kobe McCune. You've got Brendan Bailey. If he can find a consistent three-point shot, I mean, look who, you know, Sakar turned into a tremendous 3-and-D player this year, right? So there's player development. Theo John's going to be a year older and bigger. Dear God, help us all. You know, like, there is talent there. Maybe you play. I don't think you really can because of fouls, but you could play Ed at the four now with Theo at the five or something. You know, so there's opportunities there with the team next year, and the team is going to be structured differently, right? Like, they're going to play with the roster that plays. I think they got to play much faster, and they got to start with defense, right? You have a chance to play, you know, three players that are 6'5", 6'6", you know, in Sakar, Greg, and you know, Kane or Bailey, and then you've got Theo, and then you've got Marcus. That's a defense. That's a relatively strong defensive team. Maybe you get out and run the break and don't use as much set offense. You're not going to have as much spacing. I don't know, but it's going to be a tough ask.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, this is my Doctor Strange 1 in 14 million scenario. I'm with you that there. I struggle to find a true scenario where I'm going to be thinking in December of this year that we don't miss the Housers. I can't see that happening. But there are ways that maybe this team can be good, or at least, you know, be competitive, a top 25 team, be a tournament team. Like, I'm not ready to put this team in the NIT right now. Look, they still have Marcus Howard coming back. As much as I feel like maybe some of what happened today is coming down on him, probably unfairly, he's still going to be Marquette's all-time leading scorer by the first, you know, the first or second game of the season, and he will just obliterate that record and set it so high that no one may ever touch it. He's an explosive scorer. He might lead the nation in scoring next year because he's going to shoot so much, which is fine, I guess. He's going to have to. So first you start with that. Marcus Howard, first-team All-American season, certainly on the table. Kobe McEwen's got to be great. Like, not just good, he has to be awesome.
Yeah.
And a guard who sets up Marcus Howard off the ball a little more. Maybe Marcus Howard will be better off the ball. Won't turn the ball over as much. Maybe shoot for a higher percentage. He shot well this year, 40%, but he's capable of better. And I think maybe if he's playing off the ball, he can shoot a little better. You mentioned Jamal Cain, Brendan Bailey. Those are guys who need to take big leaps forward, and with more playing time, maybe they can. I don't think either one is going to be as good as Sam or Joey, but maybe they can surprise me. I wouldn't necessarily rule that out. Jamal Cain, we love his athleticism, his length, and hopefully he can become a better defender than he's shown. In small spurts, he's shown to be a capable three-point shooter. Didn't really get a chance to do that last year. Maybe that's an area he can improve. Brendan Bailey shot 25% from three last year, but after an abysmal start, he started hitting more shots late in the year. That's the big thing. Marquette is going to need three-point shooting. They just lost two guys who shot better than 40% from three last year. That has to be replaced somewhere. Hopefully Brendan Bailey could be that guy, one of those guys. Jamal Cain, maybe he can be one of those guys. I know people are going to bring up grad transfers. Maybe there's somebody out there. I guarantee there's nobody as good as either Hauser brother, so I can't put too much faith in that. And then,
plus, however, grad transfer turned out, you know, on the whole, right? Like,
not great.
Not great.
Not great. So my expectation for any grad transfer, especially one that comes in from a small program, will be as low as it can possibly be. So, but we'll see if Marquette's in the market for any. You know, and there is the Ike Eke situation. This is a guy who I am under the impression, I'm not sure if his career is ever going to get going because he had such tough luck with injuries. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, that maybe he is healthy next year. Then maybe you could play John and Morrow together some, if you have him on the bench as a third big guy. That's a guy who can add some depth to the team. Again, I have low expectations. This is, my Doctor Strange 1 in 14 million scenario. But there's got to be some scenario where this team can be really good, can meet expectations that would be satisfying to everyone, and take some heat off Wojo. Because I would almost say I feel bad for the guy right now, because he has gone from a preseason expectations of a top 10 Final Four team to a lot of people wondering if it's time for him to go.
Well, and I do want to address, like, I think expectation is the right word, but I think we need to address it, because for me, from an expectation standpoint, and maybe this is being overly semantical, my expectations on what this team should do next year do not change. I get that the roster's changed, but I don't give Wojo a pass on the expectations, because all of this, I'm sure it's not 100% his fault, but all of this happened under his watch. He made the choices that got us here, right? Like, if let me throw out an example. If the Hauser brothers are pissed because Marcus is a 34% usage player, then that's on Wojo to manage things and manage the player personnel, and have the right conversations with the right players to keep everyone happy. Like you pointed out, lots of coaches do it all of the time.
Those are the guys who get big contracts. Let's be real. They're all at better programs than Marquette right now.
Right.
Because they're good at it. But if Wojo wants to be the coach at Duke someday, he should be able to handle egos if egos are a problem on this team.
Exactly. And so, like, it's one thing to say I set expectations, like, when Wojo first came in based on the reality of the situation and how much was under his control and not under his control, right? So, like, the expectations were considerably lower. I am not going to change my expectations for what this program should be in year six of the Wojo era. You know, and we pointed out there's talent coming back. So I still think the expectations for next season should be top two finish in the Big East, a top three seed in the NCAA tournament.
Ooh,
and
that's high.
Yeah. But again, like, do I think they can achieve it? We're going back to the Doctor Strange 1 in 14 million or whatever. Like, it's possible. He better coach his ass off like that. Like, this is the prove it year, right? Like, you've made choices. Some might be out of your control. You can't control, you know, a 21-year-old and a 19-year-old. But like, you got us here. Now figure out how to coach the team you got left to the expectations that should still exist.
Yeah, I was in an unrelated conversation on Twitter a few weeks ago about saying, is it possible this past season was the best it's going to get under Wojo? And some general feedback I got is like, no, there's no way that's going to be the best season under Wojo. He can, you know, he could still get better. But it might be. If, like, it is possible next year's team will not be as good as this past year's team and could, you know, be a bubble team or be a team that gets like a 7, 8, 9 seed. Which I guess it would be painted as, hey, nice job making the tournament. But if that's the ceiling under Wojo, you know, do you want to try to do better?
Right. Well, but – and again, like, what I don't want to do is like, at the end of the season, let's say they're a bubble team this next season – like, there is no, yeah, but the Hauser's transferred. Well, that's
right,
that's part of the –
that's part of it for me too. Like, whatever happens this season, the Hauser's leaving is not a pass for me. It's like, oh, well, they would have been great if they would have kept the Hauser's. No, they lost the Hauser's, and that's part
right.
of it.
And right.
That speaks to building a team. And I think Alan Bukowski was pointing out on Twitter, you know, Wojo tends to love one ball-dominant player. Like whether it was, you know, he brought in Carlino as a grad transfer to start. He liked Reinhardt. He went to Ellenson a lot. And then, you know, Rousey and Howard are guys he's really liked. He seems to like the team circling around one guy and then everyone else just contributed. Maybe that was something that did wear on the Hausers. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And Wojo has had teams that are great offensively and couldn't guard a lick. And then he's had teams that couldn't score at all. And, like, his first couple of years, the defense was okay. This past year was the closest we've had to a balanced team. And you know, it still had its flaws. It didn't have enough ball handlers. So a point I've had for Wojo for a little while is I'm not sure he can build a complete team. Seems like he's always missing a few pieces. And boy, he lost a lot now. He's got a lot of rebounding to replace. As good as Morrow and John are, the Hauser brothers were so big on the rebounds. Like that is a lot to replace. You're not just replacing scoring with these guys. And like Sam is an above average defender. I mean, guys, they've got to replace a lot, and I just don't think they can do it in-house.
Right. I think it's highly unlikely this team meets expectations next season. But
yeah, that's a weird thing. Is not sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
I don't know what the expectations are now. I think I got to let that simmer for, you know, let the dust settle here for a little bit.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. And it's fair to take it. But I'm gonna take a very firm stand. I am not. And I know there was. And it's worth talking about it with regards to Wojo. Because again, none of us knows the whole story. We're all hearing second and third hand information about what is and isn't going on within the program. Why these decisions were made. You know, some of which we don't need to necessarily speak on right now. We'll see how it plays out. But you know, there's definitely a contingent on Wojo or a contingent on social media, on Twitter, Scoop, that are like, fire Wojo now. He's got to be gone. And I will temper it a little bit. I mean, I'm clear. Expectations are unchanged. Wojo, deal with it. You made this mess. You know, cut your way out of it, which I don't have a lot of confidence he will. But given – given where we are in the coaching hiring cycle, where we are on the, you know, the roster construction cycle, barring some other shoe dropping somewhere else, I don't see any value in firing Wojo now. Let's again, prove it for next year. And again, he's got to meet expectations for next year. And he's also got to set himself up for long-term success, right? I don't want him like having a, you know, once in a decade type player at Marquette and Marcus Howard save his butt because he goes nuclear for 6 months during next year's season, right? Like, there's got to be success next season, and then there's got to be what appears to be sustained ongoing success. Because let's be honest, after next year, the roster is kind of empty.
Yeah, like there we got some blowback saying, you know, on a previous podcast saying that the idea of a rebuild after next year is overblown. Well, now you're looking at a rebuild without Joey Hauser.
Right.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? It sounds tough to me.
Yeah. The rebuild's going to happen either way. So that's why I'm like, hang on to him for a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wojo's got to coach this out. And if he thinks he can make something out of this current roster, well, let's see what happens. But I am certainly of the opinion that Wojo is coaching for his job next season. I don't know how the administration feels right now. The fact that he hasn't gotten a contract extension yet this offseason may be an indication. I think Wojo is coaching for his job. I think just for once, I'd like to see him exceed expectations. Just once. Like, not just meet them, but blow by them. And at the end of the year, I have everyone say, wow, that was a lot better than expected. Because that hasn't happened in any season. Now, granted, some of the first few seasons, the expectations were very low, but he was right there. The first season, they weren't expected to be good at all, and they weren't very good. The second season, expectations raised with Henry Ellenson, didn't quite get there, right? I wouldn't say there has not been a season yet where Wojo has truly exceeded expectations, whether it was preseason polls or, you know, coaches' picks to win the league or going so far, you know, however far in the tournament. He's never exceeded that. So that would be my starting point for next year as to whether Wojo gets a contract extension after next year or not, is just to just do better than everyone is expecting him to do, and just for once not just hit exactly what the bar is or fall a little short of it and say, we're still building. Because I don't think anybody wants to hear we're still building after this coming year. Because this year was what everyone was pointing to for the last 2 or 3 years, saying, look, wait until this year. Wait until we get there, and it's going to be incredible. Because look at this team we're going to have in 1920. That is going to be one hell of a team that could get to a Final Four. Then you're going to see, well, that team's not here anymore, and it's not going to happen. So what are we looking forward to after this? And if there's really nothing to look forward to, it may be time to hit the reset button. So Wojo has got to convince us all this season that he's got this under control and he can build a program. Otherwise, I think it's time to move on.
Right. Yep. No, I agree. Give him this year. Again, he's created this mess. And if I thought there was a way to uncreate this mess or to smooth out, like, I just see whether Wojo, if you fire him now or you fire him a year from now, the same cliff is there, right? So I'm taking the proposition that there is a 1 in 14 million chance that Wojo can do two things: coach a very successful result next year with this, with the roster he has left and whatever he adds, as well as kind not reload. I don't think there's any way you reload. But he can provide at least a slight downturn on the roster for the following years and kind of get everything reset and rolling again. I'd rather take the chance, however unlikely it is, that outcome occurs, than hitting the reset button now, blowing up the team for next year for sure. And then still maybe not even being in a better position, right? Like,
oh yeah. To be clear, I'm not saying you fire him this summer. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's coaching for his job starting.
Yes.
Now. We got 12 months, 11 months. And the clock starts now. If it starts in November, like a disaster, like Marquette starts like 3-5 or something, maybe you make a midseason change and let Stan finish it out. But no, Wojo should coach next year's team because he seems pretty confident that Marcus is going to lead him to the promised land, and maybe Marcus will. Maybe Marcus will carry this team on his back with a 40% usage rate and lead the nation in scoring and just shut us all up.
Yeah, maybe he's going to be a shorter, skinnier Carson Edwards.
Yeah, maybe.
Anything's possible. Let's see what it is.
Maybe a less talented Trae Young. Things didn't work out for Trae Young either.
Right. It's just.
It was a tough day. It was a tough Monday, Phil.
It was real bad. And here but we were gonna
get better.
Yeah, we were gonna talk about movies.
And it's gonna come up again the day after that. We're gonna move on. Marquette will get new players. Maybe get a new coach someday. We'll still be fans, I guess. But
I don't know. It gets hard sometimes.
It does get difficult, and you may be losing Owen to the team in red.
Oh God, no! I would rather him never know what the sport of basketball is than let that happen.
I'm just saying you may be fighting a losing battle over the next few years because pretty soon he's going to really be able to understand what basketball is.
Yeah, time out. We do need to step back in for a second. Like that brings up a point. Like, weren't we, like, 4 months ago, like, talking about what a disaster Wisconsin is, you know, with Greg Gard and kind of crowing about...
Oh, yeah, and if they get the Housers, it's flipped the other way.
Right!
About that.
Like, even if they don't get the Housers, like, I still think Marquette's in a better position long-term than Wisconsin, but it's a lot closer.
Oh, I wouldn't bet money on that. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, I wish I had his Twitter account handle. I don't feel like looking it up. Shout out to the guy who last week tweeted, like hopped in our Twitter mentions and said, hey, I just placed a 30-1 bet on Marquette to win the national title. Marquette fans, let me know what I'm in for. Welcome to hell. You're in it, buddy.
Oh.
You jumped in head first and you hit the ice.
Oh, my
Welcome.
God. Oh, God. Like
I hope for his sake it was like a small bet. Like, you know, just put like $50 down or something. You know, like, you know, put that, you know, $10 or something. You know, then it's funny. I hope he's not one of those big bettors with, you know, it's put down $10,000.
You mean like the guy that bet $85,000 that Tiger would win the Masters?
Shout out to that guy.
Whew.
That guy.
Cojones galore. But yeah, no.
I'm very sorry to that. I think he's actually a writer for SB Nation or maybe Yahoo. I forget which one. But I'm very sorry, but you have lost your bet. Maybe hedge it off on something else. I don't know what you can do there, but you're not winning that bet, buddy. Marquette is not winning the national title. I will guarantee you that one.
Sorry. Oh, you know what? And if it turns, I'm with you here. And if it turns out to be a reverse jinx and like the asteroid is coming and yet we somehow manage to win a national title, that's fine. I'll own that.
I'd love to be wrong. Wojo can call me out in his coach of the year acceptance speech.
Right.
He could take that trophy, say, this one goes out to Joe McCann, who doesn't know shit about anything. Here's to you, Joe. I'm the coach of the year. Here's my new contract. 5-year extension. $3 million a year. Here's to you. He can call me out if he wants. Be happy to be wrong on that one. Don't think I am.
No, there's no way you're wrong on that one. No, we're not going to do it. We got to let it center. It's too emotional. I was going to ask, are we going to project what next year is, but we can't.
No, that's a topic for another, because I want the dust to settle, because look, Marquette's going to need to add players. There may be some grad transfers out there that they add. We'll see if they, I mean, I don't think there are any freshmen that could come in that could help the team next year, but again, we'll see what happens. Samir Torrance is still an option. He's committed for 2020. He could reclassify. I don't know how that changes the team for next year, because there are no more minutes available at guard than were available last week. So I don't know how that affects him, but yeah, I think we'll evaluate how this team's shaping up in the Big East after the dust settles in the, you know, weeks and months to come. And then maybe then we'll finally get to the sports movie bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. Here are all these people. We're going to, all six of them, we're going to listen to us talk about the sports bracket and debate them. And that was going to be the most dramatic thing we had all month.
Here's the funny thing. We were going to record that Sunday night, but the combination of Phil trying to get his kid to bed and me really wanting to watch Game of Thrones, we decided not to record that podcast. We were going to do it tonight, on Monday night, I should say. And then, you know, a meteor hit the Marquette basketball program. And so we're like, you know what? Now's probably not the time. So we're still going to do the sports movie bracket. We're going to probably let everybody simmer down for a few weeks. maybe let some... see if there's any more news related to Marquette basketball that pops up in the weeks to come. But we'll do it before the end of April. How about that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still going to do the sports movie bracket. We'll probably do it in two parts. But we figured no one would be tuning in to this podcast to talk sports movies because, well, again, a meteor just hit the Marquette program, and we just needed to talk through it.
Absolutely. So we'll get to it. I hope you've enjoyed drowning your sorrows with us as we just are flabbergasted during this whole thing. But we'll get back to happy days at some point.
I poured myself a pretty stiff drink for this podcast of, you know, just drinking away my feelings. But I think I'm going to get through it. I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, maybe.
I've got more whiskey in the kitchen.
and there's a store right down the street, right?
There really is. I could walk to it.
I'd stumble, but, you know, still.
Yeah, I'd make it. I would make it. There's no doubt about that. Should we wrap this thing up?
I think we should. I think we should close it out.
We'd be remiss. Again, this is a little off topic, but just a very quick welcome to Megan Duffy, who was the new women's basketball coach at Marquette. Carolyn Keeger really, I think, surprised a lot of people, but she left for Penn State, but I guess it is a good opportunity for her. We thank Coach Keeger for all she did for the Marquette women's program. That's really the best the Marquette women's program has ever been, honestly, at least over maybe a 2 or 3 year period. So thanks to her. Good luck to her at Penn State. But welcome, Coach Duffy, from Miami of Ohio. She's a former Notre Dame player, former professional player. I hope she does well.
Yeah, and hey, by the way, Megan, you've got some air cover thanks to Wojo.
Yes, you've got some room to breathe, so enjoy that.
Boy,
Empire Center's nice. Everybody's be nice to her. Yeah,
say welcome, even though she is
as
a Domer.
As always, guys, we thank you for tuning in here on Scrambled Eggs. We welcome your feedback. We have been talking to a lot of you on Twitter today. We appreciate the discussion because I think most of it has been very healthy and kind of fun. And, you know, misery loves company. So it was nice talking through a lot of the questions and problems and concerns with you on Twitter. I anticipate more reactions from you after you guys listen to this podcast, and we thank you for doing so. Hit us up. I'm Joe McCann 3, Phil is MOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Go to cracksidewalks.com. Leave your comments. Be nice. Maybe keep it G-rated. On cracksidewalks.com, we post the podcast there. We have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page, if that's your thing. Also, be sure to go to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate that. Phil, let's try to let this simmer down a little bit. And, again, the sun's going to come up tomorrow, we hope.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a non-tweeting policy for the next 7 hours and see how that goes.
Okay. Good luck with that. I'm going to keep tweeting, hopefully smart things, but probably not. Try to be happy, folks. It's just a game. Seashells, balloons.